Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is James chapter 5, here, which we've already heard. Hear the part that says, "My brothers, if anyone wanders among you or among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." You may be seated. You have heard it. We are in a debt reduction campaign, and to hear the words of the book of James, one might wonder if the committee went ahead and coordinated their work to match the text. For it wasn't because of the pastors, because there's not a pastor on the committee. So before we start being judgmental or being aghast, let us dig into the Word of God and apply it this day. For what happened today is what happens many times in the lives of people, both us and others. We have no control of when God's Word comes to us from the outside and sometimes from the inside. God speaks to us in whatever circumstances we or others find ourselves. God wants us to pay attention to His Word, to His mission, to seeking and saving the lost, preserving for Himself a people. And nothing is to stand in the way of His mission. Remember how we had stated God's mission among us? This morning, I want you to go ahead and open up your bulletin and look there at the header. Oh, it's easy to go ahead and look at the header and simply say, you know what, it's the same as it always has been. But the mission is so vitally important, and that's why it is a permanent part of our header. It's what we are about. Let's go ahead and speak together that mission: learning, living, and sharing Christ through God's Word. One more time: learning, living, and sharing Christ through God's Word. Now James goes ahead and writes of the mission in this way: "My brothers, if anyone is among you or among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings him back or brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." And Paul in the book of Romans states it a little differently: "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." And so the only thing that we are to owe anybody is the debt of love. The love that our Lord has shown to us that we might give it to others. James mentions several things that would go ahead and prevent the mission of God, our mission of learning, living, and sharing Christ through God's Word. First, James points out our view of money and possessions. Second, our attitude. Third, our reputation. This morning, I'm going to go ahead and take them in reverse order to first consider our reputation. James first writes, "Above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." Here, James, the brother of our Lord, references Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 5. "Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil." Well, we have to first ask ourselves, why would we swear? Now, this is not cussing. In Scripture, it is taking an oath. It is to testify about the truth about something. Like what you do in a court of law, right? You raise your right hand and take an oath. We also do this outside of court, when we want someone to believe what we say is really the truth. The danger is when we go ahead and make an oath, that is self-serving rather than out of love for others. How many of you have gone ahead and said, "Across my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye"? Oh, yeah, those childhood games, right? Or was it really a childhood game? Why did we do it? It was simply to go ahead and motivate someone to do something they didn't want to do, right? So, for example, I dare you to eat one of these. It's a habanero pepper. It won't hurt you. Cross my heart. Hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Yeah, right. As we also sometimes we go ahead and swear, "I didn't do it. She did." And as we get older, we might sign our names to testify that what we've said or wrote is true. Like going ahead and putting our signature on a check or on a contract. We are vowing to go ahead that we are going to pay what we owe or to do the work that we were contracted to do. So how is your reputation? Do we want our reputation to improve? James says, get rid of the oaths. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why? Because you don't need extra words or self-serving oaths. Live and speak in such a way that people come to trust you. You are trustworthy, whether you sign or whether you don't, whether you swear or whether you don't. If you are a Christian, a member of St. Andrew Lutheran Church, and are trustworthy, then God is honored and his mission is not hindered. Lord, help us to repent of those times that we have sworn falsely or self-serving, that you may be honored and we may be trustworthy servants. The second is our attitude. That also can hinder the mission of Christ. James writes, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." James is not simply talking about judging anyone. He's talking about, grumbling against anyone, but grumbling against a fellow brother, a believer in Christ. Grumbling makes living and working unbearable. Grumbling lays a heavy burden on your leaders. You heard it in Numbers chapter 11, didn't you? With Moses? The people were grumbling so much that Moses wants to be done. He wants to die. He complains to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." You know what it's like when you can't convince people of the goodness and mercy and the abundance of the Lord? When we grumble, our reputation and God's mission and the mission of our congregation is hurt. Lord, help us to repent of our grumbling and help us to be thankful for what you have given us. And now money and possessions. Our view of money and possessions can hurt the mission of God as well. You see, right now there's a deadly attitude that exists in our world today. It goes something like this. The world owes me a living simply because I exist. James uses the example of paying people less for their work than what is owed. You know, it's amazing, and I remember a survey, but I don't have it in front of me. It is a survey of how many adult children still live with their parents. Now, living with your parents is not a good or a bad thing, but it is one thing to have your parents help out when in distress, or when you're in distress, but it's quite another thing for an adult child to refuse to even get a paying job or make an effort to live on your own. We need to examine ourselves and compare what we spend on, not only in money, but our time and talent as well. How much time and money and talent do we spend on sporting events, electronics, gaming, concerts, food, compared with what you need to support our families and church? Is there a good balance? On the other hand, do we find ourselves hoarding and refusing to show love by our time and talent and treasures? You notice how many U-Hauls follow a hearse? Money and possessions are simply tools. Tools to show love. Lord, help us to repent and be loving towards others. So what's the cure? James leads us to prayer. Not just the prayer of asking, but the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is not only believing that the Lord will go ahead and give us something or do something for our circumstances, but it is trusting the word that he has given to us. If his word speaks about our situation, then we can have absolute confidence that he can and will do it. James used the example of being sick, for the Lord will heal you. In fact, God's promise is so sure that if your sickness comes to death, he will raise you from the dead. If we find ourselves sick, call on your pastors. Call on one another. James mentions the elders. These aren't like the elders that we have. These are the Hebrew word for pastors. Our congregation has called us pastors to attend to the sick, to the suffering, to the dying, to attend to them just as you would. You know, it's interesting here that the word anointing with oil actually means to oil them, like you would a machine or a squeaky wheel. You have to remember there were no doctors like we have at that time. Priests and leaders were health department and doctors of the day. Oiling a person would be like the Good Samaritan pouring in wine and oil on the wounds of the beaten, robbed person. In other words, use what God has provided in his creation to help those who are suffering and sick and wounded. Use the medicines, for God has created them as well. Now James gets to what's really wrong with us and our world, our sin. It's all sin, isn't it? There is the two kinds of sin, the sin that we have done wrong, but there is also the sin that is brought on us. James calls his second sickness and suffering. The first kind of sin, we're to pray for forgiveness, he says. And God has designated such a person to declare that forgiveness to you when nobody else will do it. There is God's forgiveness man, the pastor, to announce God's forgiveness to you. This is beyond forgiving each other when we have wronged one another or they have wronged us. Your pastor is there when we've sinned against ourselves and the Lord. But there are those times that sin comes from the outside. Another person may have brought it or may have not. It's simply because we live in a broken world. And sometimes there is nothing to do to fix it. Like being a child brought about by rape or some other immoral act. Some carry so much anger and resentment. even towards God, and saying, God, why did you let me be born? And yet God values them or any other person, no matter how they have been conceived. He claims them as his own by the waters of baptism and pronounces you, this new person in Christ. And so if we know such a person, we are not to look down on them, but to build them up in Christ, bearing them with loving patience and keeping them from wandering from the faith. You see, Satan has a lot of tools, many tools to rip our lives and our church apart, such as money, grumbling, self-serving oaths, but the Lord only needs one thing, and that is his word. For in his word, we not only find what is wrong, but we find his life-giving promises and that blessed word of forgiveness. It is all for us in Christ Jesus. Owe no one except to love one another. Whoever brings a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. For our mission, again together, is learning, living, and sharing Christ through God's word. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.